I like to ask questions. And here's a question. What's going on? I asked you that last week. When we consider all the things that are going on in the world, what's going on with you? What's going on in our relationship with the Lord? Well, I'm here today to tell you that this is warfare. Now, I mentioned that last week, but emphasis and repetition is very, very important in us getting the point. We are in warfare. Warfare. It's not a fairy tale. It's warfare. And that's the subject, warfare. That's why we started this service. A mighty fortress is our God. We started the service last week with a mighty fortress is our God. I want us to realize that we have a fortress and our fortress is the Lord. But we also have an enemy who is cruel and who hates us. And it's an old saying that to beware is to be equipped for warfare. So this is about warfare. Next week, I'm going to talk about how we fight the battle. But it's all the same. Our battle is in the Lord. He is our sword and shield. Warfare. That's what's happening. Beware. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. And you know what? In warfare, the most important instrument of battle is not a tank. It's not a missile. It's not a super bomb. It's intelligence. Intelligence. Not just the what you have up in your head, but your ability to interpret what you see. In every military, in every stage of war, intelligence is very important. You need to know who the enemy is. Your brother, your husband, your wife is not your enemy. But there's an enemy more powerful than me or you. Do you know who that enemy is? In warfare, you identify your enemy. In warfare, you try to get a copy of that enemy's plans. In warfare, you try to understand the psychological state of your enemy. You try to see whether he is serious or he's just an idiot. I don't mean to demean anybody, but that's what goes on in warfare. You get a dossier, you get a psychological analysis of your enemy. You know what his favorite weapon is. You know what his strengths are. You know what the weaknesses are. And I think many of us, frankly, have been bamboozled, conned, hoodwinked, and deceived, and not understanding what we're involved in. We just go about the day. Oh, it's a nice day. You skip along like zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day. Oh, what a beautiful day. And the enemy is right behind us, ready for us to fall into a trap. It is not a zippity-doo-dah day. This is warfare. I don't read you my text, the text that we're going to basically get what I'm talking about. It's in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 15. Notice this. This is what God says. I will put enmity between you and the woman. This is going all the way back. To understand how to fight this battle, you need to know the history of it. You need to have the big picture of it. And that's what I'm giving you today. It's warfare, yeah, but here's the big picture. From the very beginning, God said, I will put enmity, hatred between you and the woman. He's talking about Satan. He's talking about the serpent. The serpent is not the serpent. You have to understand in certain biblical literature that what you see is not all there is. That there is more to what you see that you see. You say, well, Pastor, you're tripping out today. You're talking about more to be seen that is not there. Yeah, there are things that you see that you think you see, but you're being deceived. And the devil is a master of deception. God created him, put all kinds of ability. He is the most, beside God, he's the most talented being that there is, except for God. And God made him is over him. So you're not dealing with some person that don't know what they're doing. They know exactly what to do. Scripture talks about beware of the wiles, the tricks of the devil. And you can't fight this warfare unless you have this intelligence that I'm trying to give you now, this inside information. This is what God said. So you'll know the warfare you're in and who you're fighting against. And I will put, God says, I will put enmity, hatred, warfare between you and the woman. And between your seed, the seed of the devil, the children of the devil, and the followers of the devil, those who put their faith in the devil, and her seed. Her seed are, that's you, if you're a believer. The seed of God, holy God, lives in you through Jesus Christ. And in the serpent, there's the devil and his seed, sinners and warriors and liars. The devil is a liar, who's a liar from the beginning. He continues to lie, to deceive. That's why I'm saying, have you been coined? Have you been hoodwinked, bamboozled, deceived? That's the enemy's strategy. You got to know where he's coming from. Whether we're in sports, football, basketball, baseball, you need to know the strengths and the weaknesses of your opponents. You need to know his psychological state. You know how to get to his head. You know, throw a couple of fastballs. Don't hit him in the head, but just braise, just where he can feel the wind. Hey, he'll be all shook up. And with us, sometimes the enemy will throw a fastball towards our ear, and we'll all, and we should turn to the Lord. But don't be moved from your stance. Stay over the plate. Be ready. And he shall bruise your head. Yes. He shall bruise your head. And it's talking about Jesus. And you shall bruise his heel. Now, let me turn that around. The heel is the heel of Jesus. Now, I got some heels on. You say, Pastor, you got a heel? You ain't recognized? No, I'm talking about the heel of my heel. For some reason, it was passed down to me, some of my siblings and some of my children, that we've got heels that are made of, sandpaper. I go through some socks because in our inheritance, we've got some heels. And heels don't hurt when they get, you've got a number of layers of, you know, I'm exaggerating, yes, a little bit, layers of that skin. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you say, well, this is just weird. No, it's not weird. This is what I live with. And it says here, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, if the devil, if a snake, you know, bruises your heel, no big deal. But if he catches you in the arm, in the hand, you got problems. And that serpent, it says, and take note of this, in this enmity, he shall bruise your head. That is, us as Christians, Jesus Christ will bruise the head of a serpent. That's how you kill a serpent. Oh, growing up in Texas, I used to run cross country in high school. And I remember this one time, I'll never forget it. I'm old as I am. I have not forgotten it. I'm in stride going cross country in the woods. There's this hill. And I'm striding. I'm going to almost like hurdle that hill. Well, not quite that. But I had to go over that hill. And there I see this coiled snake, a rattlesnake. And I'm in mid-stride, and there's nothing I can do. And the Lord protected me. I could have been bitten right there. You see, we've got snakes all around us. But it says here very plainly that he shall bruise your head. We will and have the ability through the power of God to bruise the head, to crush the head of a serpent. That's how you kill a snake. But you have to be careful even after you kill him. And he shall bruise your heel. In other words, Satan was not able to kill Jesus. I wonder if y'all know what I've got here. Ain't no snake. Kind of looks like rattlesnake, doesn't it? You know, all those strange markings there. You know, I had a relative tell me one time, said, Butch, that's my nickname. Butch, better be careful. You've got snakes in your garden. They knew I liked garden. They knew I could catch what they were talking about. They were not talking about physical snakes. They're talking about a being, our beings. Said, you bet, you know, you got snakes in your garden. I knew what they meant. And yes, I didn't have snake boots back then when I was running track, and I couldn't run track in this cross country or across the street with them. But I'm showing you this, that I wear this in certain places I go, especially in the woods here in Georgia, Texas, etc. Because that's the battle I'm in when I go out in nature. And I'm going to tell you a story about a man who lived in Texas, not San Antonio. He was in Corpus Christi. And he saw, not the boot, but he saw all these markings near his flower bed. And if you could see this, it's all kinds of things and scales and so forth. These are scales of, that mimic a snake. He didn't catch it right then. He said, well, yeah, it is a snake. But he went and got his, boom, shovel. He thought through the shovel, he could destroy the snake. So he went and hit the snake. Boom. But they did not kill the snake. Snake's angry. He thought the snake was dead. So he puts his hand down. Oh, he puts his hand down. We're in warfare, folks. It's warfare. You can't put your hand down where the snake was. He said, but he hit him in the head. And he thought himself that that snake was dead. And for all practical purposes, he was right. But in warfare, you have to have intelligence. And the intelligence, he was missing a vital piece of intelligence. I won't tell you right now what it was. But he thought the snake was dead. I hit the snake on the head. He's got to be dead. He got to be dead. And he put his hand down to take the snake out the garden. And guess what? Almost instantaneously, these two fangs were in his hand, pumping all the venom that was in that snake into his hand. And thankfully, his family were able to rush him to the hospital. You see, a snake is still dangerous even after you hit him. He has some kind of reflex that God created in him that, you know, does what a snake does. He bites, even though he's been hit. They didn't hit him enough in the head to kill him. Same is true here. This is an analogy. This is a story. Satan has been defeated. Yes, he has. Jesus crushed his head. But you know, we still got trouble in the world, don't we? We still have murder and war and kidnappings, all kinds of horrible things. That's because even after crushing the serpent, he still had venom. He was good as dead, but the reflexes of his creation and body was to, I don't know what's going on, but they were, boom, to strike and to empty. In the same way, not 100%, but close to it, Jesus crushed the head of the serpent. And the serpent cannot destroy you or me. But he sure can cause us a trip to the hospital. He sure can poison us. And many of us, even though we know the truth and we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, do not realize that the warfare continues. The snake still has some venom. He does not have enough to destroy you or to separate you from Jesus. Only you have that by your choices and how you live. We need Jesus. We need to not go after the serpent. This is warfare, and he has the ability to strike you. Can I get an amen about it? Can you look back over your life and see how you have been walking along with the Lord, and then you go off the path, and guess what? You stoop down to pick up something, and boom, there you are. The venom of the devil has been injected into you, not to kill you. The devil cannot kill you, but he can. He can persuade you, discourage you. I'm going to get into more of his devices and what God has called us to do and what our weapons are. We'll get into that next week. But I want you to be aware. Don't go around picking up snakes. Realize that the devil is right outside your door. He's in your garden. Do not give way to him. Do not put yourself or let yourself to be in situations to be tempted. Or so I could go along with my friend. They're just gonna get a lit a little bit. You don't need to get lit a little bit. You don't need to be around that. Because what will happen, you will find yourself, you didn't intend to do what they're doing, but because of the association and because you want your friends and this and that and the other thing and everybody's doing it, there you are following the way of the serpent. I encourage you to stop, look, and listen. This is warfare. This is serious. Young folks, I'm an old man, but, you know, I look back in my life and I said, boy, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish this, that, and the other thing. While you're young, don't just wish, pray. Father, deliver me. Father, give me the strength not to follow my friends, not to get lit, not to do this or that, to follow your way, the way of the cross, the way of Jesus. Coming up to be picking up strange stuff, snakes and this and lizards and all this stuff. I think you get the point. I think you understand that this is warfare. Beware. Be strong. Ephesians 5 and verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Not your own strength. You say, well, I can handle it. You know, sometimes we presume about ourselves. You can handle it. You're not strong enough. Well, I'm no child no more. Nobody has to tell me what I can and cannot do. You better hope somebody is in your life will tell you about the snakes. We'll tell you not to walk in this way and to walk in the right way. We'll get into that next week. But I want us to understand. I want us to know that this is warfare. And to realize that Jesus is worthy where this other stuff in this world is not worthy. It will not lead you to where you want to be. It won't lead you to what you're really after. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. We need the Lord. And he is worthy beyond sex, drugs, alcohol, whatever, material things. He is worthy to be worshipped above all else. Worship him, for he is worthy. Father in heaven, I ask that you would help us, because we're all vulnerable. Help us to realize that around us, you did not take Satan away. That we have snakes all around us, in our garden, in our school, at work. And you don't want us to follow the way of the serpent, but the way of Jesus. Jesus, you are the example. You alone are worthy. Nothing else in life matters but you. Father, I ask that you'd open the hearts, the minds of young folk, old folk, middle folk, all folk, that we need Jesus. And to be aware and not be conned, hoodwinked, bamboozled, deceived. Let us not be conned by the world and the things of this world. But let us love God, to love you, to love Jesus, and to be enthralled with you. Help us open the minds of our hearts, Lord. And let us fight our battles as we sang the song. Through praise, through worship, through prayer. Help us to see now that you are worthy. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my brothers and sisters, as we have worshiped the Lord and we say that he is worthy, is he worthy enough to be your Savior? Is he worthy enough to work in your life, to mold you and shape you and conform us in the image of the Lord? Are you willing, after hearing the gospel, that we're saved by grace through faith alone, to come to the Lord and say, Lord, please, I confess to you my fallings, my failings. I've fallen many times, and you have still loved me. And that we will come to this throne of grace and ask God to take away all of our sins, all of our failures, and to conform us in the image of Jesus. You know, I look here in Romans chapter 8, and I see this. Who shall save us? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Should warfare? Should attacks, sickness, death? What can separate us from Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, through all the warfare, through all the troubles, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, Paul says, and I hope you are as well, my brothers and sisters. I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels or demons or devils, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height, no matter how tall they are, or depth, how deep it goes, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, Father, we come before you again with that, this truth that you are greater than anything. And Lord, as we are about to partake of the bread that symbolizes your body and the suffering that you went through, Jesus, how your body, like grain, was ground and marred and torn more than any human being. And the blood, the wine that we're going to partake of, Lord, let us experience the life, your life that is in the blood. And because of your blood, we can have life. Cleanse us, Lord. Conform us. You have predestined to conform us in your likeness. Take whatever is not like you, Lord, and remove it. Wash it away. Jesus, you shed your blood to cover all of our sins, to wash it away. That wine points us to your life, to your blood. Cleanse us through your blood. We want you to use us, Lord, to reach others. Refine us and conform us into your image and to the likeness of your Son. As we come to your table now, you are our refiner. Make us more and more like you. Refine us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So clean my hands, purify my heart. I wanna burn for you, only for you. Take my life as a sacrifice. I wanna burn for you, only. You're a fire, the refiner.